So then we have here the thief who comes to school. It is that deeper self that is hungry for acknowledgement, because it is where here where it becomes acknowledged. But the thief sits there and goes to work on the field, and the thief battles the god for dominance. So you would think that the thief would steal what he has to steal and go home and never come back. But he comes back because the thief has been living longer in this physical domain than this ancient wise being has, who was laid there dormant. So while we have a thief that has taken 25 years or 30 years or 15 years or 10 years to culminate an ingrained habit of survival versus a truly enlightened entity that lies dormant and has allowed this progression to take place. The thief will never be dissolved until the act of a deeper mind takes over, stretches apart that personality, and interfaces it with God. Then the thief will go, I do not have to survive this way. I am morally hurt by what I know is wrong. It has contracted my lifestyle to a very nursing and worrisome point of survival, and I have only survived upon my cleverness, upon my bargaining ability. I have never survived upon divine mind. And that's the day that the thief, perhaps his junior year, will no longer be the thief and will allow a greater being to emerge. But in the meantime, the thief keeps coming back, learning a little more about why he does what he does. And perhaps one day or one night, he will hear something that will put him into such a trance that will call forth this deeper mind. And when the deeper mind comes to the surface and brings forth the sword and severs the ties that bind the personality to the external world and creates the marvelous, then the thief will be no more. Everyone is on their own path. Everyone is involved in the personality, and everyone has all of the colors of the personality. Every one of you have the potential to be very jealous people. Every single one of you can be filled with avarice, and on a dime, you can turn into hateful beings. Every one of you have the capacity for compassion. Every one of you have the capacity for generosity. Every one of you has the capacity for hope and charity. Every one of you has the capacity for love, and all of you possess the ennobling right of self-forgiveness. Everyone here. And all of you are colored with all of those colors to various degrees. So the person that you think you have always been has been nothing more than the culmination of genetic creed, meaning the bloodline from which you come from. And that bloodline is constituted by a nation, and that nation is constituted by certain ingrained beliefs, and so you are the characterization of that. And from that seed, then you are plunged into an environment and you are taught assumptions all of your life, and that you assume that this is how you are to interact with your neighbor, but you have never interacted from the point of true realism. So what we have then is that we have a personality here that's biodegradable, that hasn't really done anything on its own worth remembering, that the soul would keep around. The body ages, it falls apart, it becomes diseased because of the personality. So the personality cannot salvage its own self from the grave. All it can do is go downward. Now, this same personality is who you think you are. The same personality is the modus operandi in which you engage your daily affairs, in which you talk to people, in which you engage business, in which you make love, in which you engage conversation, in which you live. You've lived through this personality. I want you to know it is limited because it is based on assumption. It is based upon theory, it has never been tried, and it cannot salvage the entity, and it cannot heal the entity. But it is this personality that you have given all of your power to, that if you can't taste it, smell it, hear it, see it, feel it, it isn't real. Now, those sorts of declarations from the sensual self go gravely against the student who has the smallest idea of evolution, because he builds a brick wall of which he cannot pass through. When he bases reality entirely upon the personality, who in turn bases reality upon the brain and how the brain interprets the sensual information that is given to it. Well, now, students in the school who have an idea based on the idea of what I've taught them about what God is, and they've created that consciously and they've added it to that which is termed the strings of their performance, their conscious performance, but they don't really know, because the greatest mystery that ever existed was unlocking the mystery of self. But how do you unlock the mystery of self if unlocking it is a conscious thing and it's the personality who is unlocking the personality? And how does the personality know that it's unlocked it? Because it needs a new level of criteria in which to utilize. Now, school here always was to evolve from this human self, which is biodegradable, to the superhuman self that is immortal. The human personality that swings, accepts, rejects, positive, negative, higher, lower, success, failure, and are you doing what everyone else expects you to do, holding that drama in place. That personality, by the way, that is called you, cannot evolve beyond your own limitations because you have no fathom as to how to assume the next step. You could only assume it with the personal criteria that constitutes your conscious mind. So then evolution, what is evolution? It's a humbling thing. It means you don't know. And it means that no matter what box you put the knowledge in, the box is the criteria that has formed the personality. So when I say God and you think you are a spiritual religious person, I have to say God and I have to refer to Yeshua ben Joseph so you understand what a Christ is. But that is limited criteria for exploration, because both of those discern alienation of the human being.